So tonight, I want to talk to us about the wonders of praise. The wonders of praise. The wonders of praise. There was a story about this pastor who had a donkey, and he groomed his donkey, trained his donkey, and the rule was whenever he wanted his donkey to move, he would say, "Praise God," and the donkey would shoot off. And whenever the pastor wanted the donkey to stop, he would say, "Amen," and the donkey would stop. So after a few years, the pastor thought, okay, I need some money, so I'm going to sell this donkey to someone else. So he sold the donkey to another man, another gentleman. And when he came, as you all know, when you go buy a new car, they'll talk you through the manual. They'll tell you or show you around the car. This is where you start the engine and blah, blah, blah. So he did the same thing with this man who came to buy his donkey. So he said to him, "Well, this is the rule. If you want the donkey, this donkey has been very, very good. It served me. It's so, so obedient. If you want the donkey to move, you say, 'Praise God.' And if you want this donkey to stop, you simply shout, 'Amen.' Very simple. You don't need to use the whip. You don't need to be aggressive on the donkey." So off the man went with his new donkey, and he decided, "Oh, I'll take this new toy of mine on a good ride." So he jumped on the donkey and said, "Praise God." And off the donkey went, galloping away full speed. And the man was feeling so good. Wow, this is a very, very strong donkey. I had a good buy. He was very happy with himself. This was such a great bargain. So the donkey was going and going and going. And then all of a sudden, the man forgot what he was meant to say to stop the donkey. So this donkey went on a wild run, wild race, and kept on going and kept on going. And just as the donkey was getting to the edge of a cliff, he just remembered, "Amen." And he shouted, "Amen." And the donkey stopped just right in front of the cliff. But unfortunately, the man went, "Praise God." So you all know, you can imagine what happened to him after that. So tonight, I'm going to talk to us about the wonders of praise. The wonders of praise. This month, P has been taking us through some teachings about praise. And we've been doing the same thing in our Bible Connect groups. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing. You would think you already know what praise means. But as we've been going through these teachings and this, especially the Bible Connect group teachings and fellowship and listening to other people's perspective and understanding of praise, it's been so, so mind-blowing. It's been mind-blowing. So what exactly is praise? What is praise? Actually, I want us to... We have a mic. I want a few people to share with... Just say what your understanding of praise. Demola, can I have a mic, please, to pass around? I just want you to say what exactly is praise, because it's there's no wrong definition, so I'm not trying to catch anyone out. And don't worry, P is not here, so even if you said the wrong thing, I won't tell him. So, what is praise? What is praise? What would you define praise as? Thank you. Yeah, means the DJ.
To say something good about a person or their qualities. So you praise your child when they do something good, or you praise, it's saying something good about a person or the person's qualities. That's praise.
Okay. All right. Let me clarify that. So what is praise to you? When you come to church, what does praise mean to you? What is praise? What is praise? Is it something we do before pastor comes up, or is it something we open up the service with, or is it, so what is your understanding of praise when we in the corporate, in the Christian setting or in the church setting. Anyone else? Okay.
Praise is expressing gratitude to God.
Expressing gratitude to God. Okay. Okay. A few hands at the back. Treasure and Rashida. Okay, Grandad, yes.
We praise to appreciate God.
To appreciate God. Okay, thank you, sir.
It's to connect with God.
To connect with God. Okay.
Recognizing God for who he is.
Recognizing God for who he is. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Dr. Flo?
Praise is magnifying God's qualities and attributes.
Magnifying God's qualities and attributes. Okay, very good. Totally agree with everyone's definition, and that is true, spot on. But like I said, there is no right or wrong definition for praise. Thank you, Demola. Thank you very much. But tonight, I want us to look at it from a different angle, and I want us to open to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So tonight I want us to look at praise as a weapon of warfare. As a weapon of warfare. That scripture says that even though we walk in the flesh, that means even though we are in the flesh, we are in this human body, in this human form, it says that we do not wage war according to the flesh. We do not wage war according to human understanding. We do not wage war according to human design. But that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And praise is one of these weapons of warfare, which we're going to be looking at tonight. Prayer is also a weapon of warfare. Prayer is a weapon of warfare. And praise also is a weapon of warfare. And, you know, praise is something that has been, the moment we all confess Christ as our Lord and Savior and we accept Christ into our lives, immediately this weapon, praise weapon of warfare, gets handed over to us. But unfortunately, there are some of us that are aware of this weapon that we carry, but we do not know how to operate it. So you can be given, if tonight, God forbid, something happens and then someone gives me a gun and says, defend yourself. Honestly, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'll do the obvious, which is pull the trigger. But for all you care, there might be the, what's it called in the gun? The safety, whatever. Or you need to, there's some guns you do that. I don't know what that is. Yeah, cock the gun. There's some guns that you... you bend somehow, and then you have to kind of, it's strange, I don't know. But if you give me a gun, if it's not as simple as pulling the trigger, I wouldn't know what to do. And even there's some guns that, before you pull the trigger, you need to be standing yourself, because you would fall down if you're not careful, if you're not standing. So it's the same thing with us. Some of us are aware of the weapon we carry in praise, but we do not know how to use it. And also, some of us do not actually know that we have this weapon on us. So tonight is my prayer that as we go through this teaching, that God will give us greater understanding, a better understanding about this weapon that he has given to us. And also, just to clarify, There's a difference between praise. So there's a difference between praise, thanksgiving, worship. Okay. So when we give thanks to God, we celebrate His goodness. We celebrate Him for something that He has done for us. And when we worship Him, we celebrate His holiness, the holiness of God. But when we praise, we celebrate the greatness of God. We celebrate His greatness. And the Bible says to us that God inhabits the praises of His people. And when you celebrate His greatness, you attract His presence. You attract His presence. When you're celebrating someone, when you celebrate people, they always want to be there. They always want to be present where you are celebrating them. And that's the same thing with our God. When you celebrate Him, when you celebrate His goodness, His awesomeness, His mightiness in praise, He comes and dwells in our midst. And praise is also an environment that gets God going, and He wants to display in the eyes of men, in the eyes of the people He has created. He wants to display His awesomeness. Just like we all have that atmosphere that gets us going, you know, there's an atmosphere that really gets you functioning. Sometimes you sit in your office and you're saying, "Oh, I don't feel, I can't really function in this atmosphere. I can't function in this place." So you know that there's that certain environment or atmosphere that really brings out the best in you, that makes you most productive. That's the same thing that praise is in the eyes of our God. Praise gives the atmosphere and the environment for God to come down, inhabit our praises, and display His power. So praise is a very powerful tool. It's a powerful tool. And also, it's a personal affair. Praise is personal. You can pray on behalf of people, but you cannot praise on behalf of anyone. Or I don't know if anyone has ever come to Pastor Angela. Pastor Angela is in charge of Strike Force, our prayer group, and say, Pastor, please, I need you to praise on my behalf for this problem to go. I don't know, Pastor Angela, if anybody has come to you to ask for you to praise and do midnight watch, praising for them whilst they're sleeping. You know, they can catch you out and say, Pastor, please pray for me. And you stay up, you're praying, you're interceding. But if you come and say, Pastor, praise for me, you know, that's a great ask. So praise is a personal relationship between, or personal affair between you and God. And that's why it's very important that we gain deep understanding of what exactly it is. It's a bit more, actually, it's more than just coming into a gathering and singing with the choir, or singing with the instruments going, with everyone coming into church, being welcomed into church. Praises is way beyond that. It is way more than just gathering together in church to praise. Praise is an affair between you and God. You don't have to be in church to praise. You can be at home praising God. You can be walking on the street praising God. You can be doing something and you are giving praise to God as you're doing that thing. Praise is you appreciating the greatness of God, appreciating God for who He is, appreciating Him as the one who is the God of all gods, who is the King of all kings. So praise is a personal affair. And Psalm 47 verse 7 says that, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding." I want you to underline that. Sing praises with understanding. I really pray tonight that God would change our understanding of praise, so that we don't go wasting our time doing what we think is praise, and then when we don't get results, we think God is not happy with us. Are we really praising God? Are we really, really praising God? You know, it's interesting sometimes, look around on a Sunday morning, for instance, you find three categories of people. So you find some people who are the spectators. We see it every day. You see some people during praise, they just looking. They just are not interested. They're just watching and just watching. Those are the spectators. You find some people that are the referees. So those are the people that if the choir doesn't start on the right key, ah, you spot my praise today. Ah, I can't praise. Those are the referees. Or if the drummer doesn't show up, they already, there's no praise today. This drummer, what's wrong with him? Last week, he was late. This week, he was late. What's wrong with this drummer, you know? Or they think, if the keyboard doesn't go off, we can't praise. Or, good example that we see sometimes, hope it doesn't happen now, when the speakers go off, boo, just goes off. And the choir is still going, and you just see some people they just stand and they're looking, they're watching, they're trying to see how they're trying to fix this problem, and that's not praise. You don't need a mic, you don't need a speaker to praise your God. It's very important that we understand what praise really means, just like the Bible says here in Psalms. It says, sing praises with understanding. And then we have the players as a third category. Those are the people that will praise God. No matter what's going on, they will praise God. They don't look around them. They don't look at what the choir is up to. They are connected with God. They know that praise is a personal affair between them and God. They are celebrating God. They're not asking God for anything. They are celebrating God. They are praising God. They are praising His greatness, His awesomeness. So those are the player category. I pray that by the end of tonight, we would all be in this category in Jesus' name. So praise causes God to do things that are way beyond the comprehension of man. Job 11:7, it says, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? Can you fathom His mysteries? Praise is a tool that delivers the mysteries of God, that delivers into our hands, or that makes us experience the mysteries of God. I can't forget my experience in 2009, when I won't assume everyone's heard this before, but I'll share it again. This was to do with my wedding in 2009. We're going to get married, myself and my wife. And she had an issue with renewing her status in country. So they said to her, you have to leave the country to go and apply and then come back. So we thought, oh, that's easy. One, she works in a law firm. One of the partners in her firm knows somebody back home in our country, in the British embassy, and he just said, this is her card, go to her, go with your application. They put the application together, everything fantastic, and we all thought, oh, come on, JP is going, she'll be back next week, easy. So she went in that understanding and that belief that all I need to do is just show up with this card and my application, and I'll see you next week. And that's how she went and went and went and went for about 14 months. What was meant to be a 1 week, 2 weeks affair became 14 months. Before we knew it, this lady whose card she was carrying was nowhere to be found. Before we knew it, the partner in her firm who promised us that, we do this every day, even when about to deport people, right at from the aircraft, we sort them out, they tell them, oh, come back. The guy he now started abusing us, saying, oh, what's wrong with you? Why must you get married in October 2009? Why don't you just postpone your wedding and wait for her to come back? But we knew that God had instructed us and said to us, you will get married October 2009. So I went on a 7-day fast with prayers, fasting, praying, because by this time, this was August 2009, August or September 2009. We had set the date for October 2009. We had printed the invitation cards. When we did that, it was still around March. So we still thought, there's time. You know, God will come through for us. So we went on, we booked the hall, we paid for everything. And then September came, August came. I thought, this one, we need to go in and wrestle this one by ourselves, but in prayers. So I went on a fast. And on the fifth day, God instructed me to go on a praise mission. So I went to Lunar House. Okay, not everyone knows what that is. So Lunar House is the powerhouse. that's the stronghold that holds people's destiny bound. So in Lunar House, you find people's passports, people's documents, people's destinies being held down by immigration. I can say that boldly now. They can't send me anywhere. So God instructed me to go on a praise mission. So I went to this place at night in Croydon, and I marched around in prayers 6 times. When I got instruction, I thought, oh, that's all right. I'll just march around the building. I thought it would be a case of just going around this hall. That place is big. I think some people have gone there to do the same thing. That place is big. When I did the first one, I thought, wow, 7 times. But I knew what I was chasing, and I knew what was chasing me. So I kept on going. On the 7th time, I marched around singing praise and dancing and singing. By this time, it was about 11 or about almost midnight. And the security guard, every time I go around his post, he would look up and stare at me and look at me. I was tempted. I was scared at first. I was tempted to stop. But I kept on going because I knew that in that praise, in that instruction, was our deliverance and our breakthrough. So I did it. And I marched around. And then I went back home. I went back home and I had this encounter. I've never had that before in my life. It wasn't a dream. It was a vision. And I actually wrestled. I wrestled and wrestled in that vision. I say it's not a dream because I really remember. When I dream, I don't remember. I don't know if there are people like that, like me. I rarely remember my dream because I sleep well. When I sleep, I dream. I wake up, I'm like, did I dream? But I remember this vividly, and I knew within me that that was my victory. That was our victory. So come October, God came through for us, and she was called to come and collect her passport on the second of October. The wedding was on the 3rd, the following day. She wasn't called to get her passport with her visa until the second of October. So she got her passport, got her visa, and then traveled out on the night of the 2nd, arrived on the 3rd. And when she landed, we went, that was amazing. Trust me, it wasn't the easiest of, especially with, you know, my wonderful Gateway family. Everyone knew there was a wedding, but they couldn't see the bride. I remember the 1st of October was trumpet night. At that point, everybody started staring at me like this. You know when people start staring at you and you're still holding on to your God and you're still giving him praise? It was trumpet night. I was still digging into that praise. I was like, my God will sort us out. My God, the wedding is in 2 days' time, but God will do something. People were looking at me like, this guy, he's going to be messy. But I knew God would come through. And he did. When you praise God, he will come in a way that no one has experienced before. You know, when you give a testimony about how, or when you hear testimonies of what God has done in the life of someone else, and you're thinking, wow, I've never seen that before. That is not done. I've never heard that before. We've heard some testimonies in the house, and you wonder, how can that be? How can this thing be? That is what praise does. That is what praise God does. You know, you cannot, and that's why I like that scripture in Job that says that you cannot probe the limits of the Almighty. You cannot probe his limit. God has no limit to what he can do. He can do anything. He can do what he wants to do. But you need to praise him with understanding for you to attract or to provoke God to do something that no man has ever experienced or seen before. When we pray to God, he answers us. When we praise him, we gain his attention. And when we gain his attention, we invite his presence. And with the presence of God comes the wonders of God. So I want us to look at some wonders that accompany the presence of God when we praise him. The number one wonder is divine increase. Divine increase. When you praise God, he comes down and manifests his wonders of divine increase. Let's open to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, verse 5. Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. He says, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. And after we praise you, then shall the earth yield her increase. And our God, whom we know, whom we serve, shall bless us. Whenever you sow your seed of time, your seed of money, or your seed of effort, you will do well to water it with praise. You will do well to praise God so that he can bring his presence upon that seed that you have sown. You know, that's why Pastor says to us every time that don't go to your office and complain and complain and complain. You don't go to your office and complain. When you do that, you cannot attract the presence of God that comes with his wonders. Or when you sow a seed in the life of someone and then they don't say thank you, especially if God has instructed you to sow that seed and they don't say thank you to you, or you think they've not appreciated you enough, you don't go complaining. You don't go harassing them. What you do is you praise your God until his presence tabernacles on that seed that you have sown, and then you see the divine increase upon it. So avoid complaining. Do not complain. When you complain, you do not create that atmosphere that God would come down and abide in. You praise until you see your divine increase. You go to your office, even if you feel, oh wow, I'm not happy in this place. Don't go there complaining like your mates do, like your colleagues do. Go there every morning and praise God. Praise him because he's the one that has put you there. Praise him because you are sowing your time and your effort in that organization. Praise him and attract his presence. And then you see him manifest his wonders. And the second wonder is divine vengeance. Divine vengeance. When we praise, when we switch on our weapon of praise, God visits us with his wonder of divine vengeance. And if we open to Psalm 149, verse 3, he says, let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. There's another translation, New English Translation, that says, he exalts the oppressed by delivering them. And verse 5 says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. When you want God to execute vengeance on your behalf, you praise him. You praise him. It's not the time to start complaining about who's oppressing you. It's not the time to start moaning about someone who's cheated you or someone who's been horrible to you. The Bible says to us in the scriptures, it says that vengeance is mine, says God, says the Lord. It is not in our power to go around trying to fight our corner or trying to every time pay people back for what they have done to us or what they've taken from us. Allow God to fight for you. Allow God to fight for you. Someone might have taken from you. Someone might have stolen from you. You keep praising your God. When you start praising your God, you switch on the atmosphere that causes him to come down and fight for you and execute vengeance on your behalf. It's not every time you fight. It's not every time you have to fight. We fight too much. We fight too much. I used to be guilty of that. You can ask my wife. You can't take any. If you take one from me, I go after you. I leave everything else. I thought that was scriptural. If you take one from me, I will leave 99 behind and I'll pursue you until I take that one back and then go back to the remaining 99. I used to be like that. I used to be guilty of that. But maybe as time went on, I just got tired. You know, you can find yourself constantly fighting this, fighting that. Today you get this letter saying, oh, you have to pay this fine. You're fighting it. You're going online to write a letter. As you're composing the letter, you get another one in the post. The devil sends you another one, and you're thinking, who are they? I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for this. And then you know, some people are very good at doing that. I used to be, trust me. But I learned that it's not every time you fight. You don't have to fight all the time. If you get that letter, you think this is unjust, just take it and praise your God. Let him go before you and fight for you. Let him go before you and execute vengeance on your behalf. It will save you time. It will save you energy. The energy you will spend fighting and trying to take back what belongs to you, you should spend it praising God. You should spend it praising your God and watch him fight for you. The Bible says to us that the Lord will fight for us and we would hold our peace. I would want to always hold my peace and watch God fight. Because when God fights and he wins, it's always a glorious battle. It's always a glorious victory. When God fights and he wins, the outcome is always way, way beyond what the outcome would have been if I fought the battle myself. When God fights for you, the outcome is always way beyond what it would have been if you fought the battle yourself. So divine vengeance is ours when we learn to praise God in understanding. And the third wonder of praise is divine victory. Divine victory. And we see that in 2 Chronicles 21. 2 Chronicles 21 from verse 21. 2 Chronicles 21, 21. I love this scripture. I can never get enough of it. It blows my mind every time I read it. 2 Chronicles 21, 21. It says, and when he consulted, and this is Jehoshaphat. We all know this scripture. This is Jehoshaphat instructing the people of Judah when three armies came against them. 2 Chronicles 21. Is it coming up? Oh, sorry. 2 Chronicles 20 from verse 21. Thank you. 2 Chronicles 20 from verse 21. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22 says, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. How were they defeated? It says, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and utterly killed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. I like that scripture. It says they turned around and they destroyed the people of Mount Seir first. And when they had done, when they were done, they turned around and destroyed themselves. What a battle. What did the people of Judah do? All they did was praise. They did not have to fight. God can still do the same and even more for you. You don't have to fight. You don't have to charge to the enemy all the time. You don't have to go against the enemy all the time. God can do something that will make the enemy self-destruct on behalf of you. You don't have to fight. God can do something that will make two bosses fire themselves because of you. Have you heard that before? They fired them. I don't know. The first manager sends the email, you're fired for harassing this guy. And before the email arrived, he sent another one, you're fired. When you praise, crazy things happen. How would three countries come against the people of God? And then suddenly two of them form an ally and then they destroy one. And then the ally killed themselves. All because they praised. God said to them, watch me fight this battle for you. But gather yourselves together and give me what I need. Give me what I want. Give me what makes me tick. Give me what makes me move. Give me what makes me calm down. Give me what makes me show up. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. You know where I come from? When the big people come around, they start singing and they start playing music. They start playing music. And you see this man, this big man, just sitting there, just, you know, raising his head up and just ignoring them like, you know, they're not there. And then they intensify the beat and the songs and everything. And before you know it, this man starts moving and he gets up and he starts dishing them with money. So that's the same thing. That's the same thing with our God. You give him what he wants. Give him what makes him function. Praise makes our God tick. Praise makes him calm down. Praise, the Bible says it, our God inhabits our praise. He inhabits our praises. To inhabit our, that means praise is the natural habitat of God. Praise is the environment that God desires all the time. And we also saw something similar in 2 Kings, where the Syrian army came against the people of Samaria. And what did God do this time? He caused the Syrian army to hear a loud sound of another army, bigger than them, coming through. And there was no one coming. They just heard the sound of a bigger army coming. And what did they do? They fled. They fled. God is still in the business of fighting battles for his children. God is still in the business of fighting your battle for you without you being present there. God is still in the business of fighting for us. And the fourth wonder is freedom. Freedom. And we see that in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Praise delivers the wonder of freedom. Acts 16:25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Everyone's chains were loosed. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail for no reason. They had done nothing. They had done absolutely nothing wrong to deserve that treatment. But they did something unusual. They did something unusual. You know, it's very, our first reaction whenever things don't go our way or whenever we're not happy is we say, we're not happy with God. Does that sound familiar? I'm not happy with God, or I feel down, things are not going well, or I don't think things are going the way they should be. And we're down, we're not happy. But these were two guys who were permitted to be unhappy because justice had not been done in their favor. But they did something unusual in their circumstance. They decided to praise, to pray and to praise their God. They decided to pray and to praise their God. And you know what happened? There were other prisoners in the cell, in jail. Have you wondered why it wasn't just Paul and Silas that were freed of their chains? The Bible says that there was a sudden earthquake and the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chain was loosed. Why? Because the presence of God came. And when the presence of God came, everyone in that environment had to know that someone was in town. And that was proven by their chains falling off. It says the chains of all the prisoners fell off because God visited. And why did God visit? God visited because Paul and Silas invoked his presence through praise. And you know also, if you read the scripture on, you'll find that even though the chains fell off for all the prisoners, not all of them escaped. It says that Paul and Silas, that when the prison guard found out that Paul and Silas, found out what happened, they wanted to kill themselves. But Paul and Silas said, do not kill yourself. And further down the same chapter, it says that he invited Paul and Silas to his home, and him and the entire family got saved. So it was only, the Bible only records that Paul and Silas were the only two that left the prison. It doesn't say, it didn't tell us that everyone left the prison. So the presence of God caused the chains to break. It was the presence of God that caused the earthquake that led to the freedom of his children. So there was no way that God would have come down to that jail, right? And everyone would not have felt it. Everyone could not but feel the presence of the Almighty God that was called down through praise. When you praise God, you invoke his presence that destroys every stronghold, that destroys every stronghold of shame, every stronghold of addiction, every stronghold of bondage gets destroyed when you praise God and you invoke his presence. The praise, the genuine praise from our heart to God brings forth our freedom. And also, the fifth wonder is divine multiplication. Divine multiplication. When you praise God, you experience the wonder of divine multiplication. And Jeremiah 30 verse 19 confirms this. Jeremiah 30 verse 19 says, then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will glorify them and they shall not be small. When you look at what's in your hand and you think, well, this can barely meet the needs. This can barely pay the bills. You switch on and praise your God. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him for his awesomeness. Praise him for his greatness. And watch him divinely multiply that which you have in your hands. The praise that we offer to God invokes his wonder of divine multiplication. God can divinely multiply that which is in your hand. He can multiply. He can provide divinely that which is in your hand. God can provide in ways that would be beyond your imagination. There was a time I went to, I was on my way to work, and I've shared this testimony a few times, and I forgot my wallet at home. In my wallet was my bank card, my cash, and my travel card for the month. So I got to London Bridge, got to the barriers, and found, oh, I left my wallet at home. And going back home was a no-no, because if I went back home, there would be no point going back to work because I would have been so late, and I needed to be on site early that morning. So I refused to be angry or to be upset or, you know, to just lose it there and there. I thought, well, I would go because my God is with me. And I went there happy. I was not down. I was just singing as usual. I usually sit on the train listening to a praise song on my way to work. So I kept on going. I got to the barrier and I approached the guy and I said to him, look, I've left my wallet at home. I don't have my ticket. I don't have my card on me. I need to go to work. And so this guy said, well, I can let you out of this section of the station, which is for the overhead trains. But the guys that stand in the London Underground barriers, those ones are bigger demons. They will not let you through. No matter what you say to them, they will not let you in the tube without a ticket. I said to him, don't worry, you let me through. When I get there, you see, well, I didn't say that to him, but I said in my mind, the same God who has let me through this place will see me through. So he let me through, and I went straight to London Underground. And I said to the attendant, I said, look, I do not have my wallet. I do not have my travel card. I have nothing on me. I need to get to work. And true to the other guy saying, she shook her head. I said, you are not going in. And I stood there. I was waiting, thinking. And this guy from nowhere just came. I had no prior conversation with him. I don't know him from anywhere. he just came and gave me a £10 note and said to me, the Holy Spirit told me to wait here for you and give you this money. I was shocked. Initially, I thought, oh, wow. The Holy Spirit told him to wait there and give me a £10 note. This guy, he's not even from the same side of the planet as I am. So I won't even try and think, okay, maybe he knew me from somewhere or maybe he had seen me somewhere. Totally unrelated. In fact, where the guy said he lived somewhere in Croydon. And he said he doesn't know why he's in London Bridge today, but he's here and he knows that the Holy Spirit sent him to me. Of course, I took the £10 note and I said, thank you. Before the other London Underground demon comes and spoils the miracle for me. Took the £10 note when I got my ticket and I traveled. Then, how else can God prove that he can sort out our challenges even in ways that we can never expect? I never would have expected, not in this country, that someone will part with. You can't even find, for you to find someone that will part with a pound, you'll try. £10 note, this guy gave me a £10 note and said, the Holy Spirit said I should give this to you. God can still do a miracle. God can still take care of that challenge. God can take care of that situation. You don't need to know how. It's not your headache. You don't need to crack your head and try and understand how I'm going to come out of this mess. You don't need to understand how I'm going to get through this challenge. You don't need to understand where the breakthrough is going to come from. Why? Because we cannot understand the limits of the Almighty God. We cannot understand the ways of the Almighty God when he does battle. But all you need to do, and all you know to do, is to praise him. When you praise him, you invoke his presence. And with his presence comes might, comes wonders, comes miracles. And the same miracle is available for every one of us. The same tool of praise has been given to us. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty in God. Praise is a weapon of warfare that has been made available to every one of us. Now the question is, are you going to take it and use it? Are you going to learn how to use it? Are you going to be aware of that weapon you carry when the challenge comes? Are you going to be aware of the weapon that you carry when someone tries to cheat you? Are you going to be aware of the weapon you carry when the devil comes to lie to you? Are you going to be aware of the weapon you carry when you think there is lack and there is no way you're going to get through paying your bills? Are you going to be aware of the weapon that you carry when the doctors give you that report and they say to you, this illness has no cure? Are you going to be aware of the weapon that you carry when you think that all hope is lost and there is nothing else anyone can do to help you? Praise is a weapon that you carry. It's time for you to get up and use it, and use it effectively. Let's rise to our feet tonight and just bless God. Let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Amen. Let's put our hands together like one who's clapping to the Most High God. Let's put our hands together for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's praise him tonight. I want us to give God quality praise before we leave here tonight. I believe that everyone is walking away from this teaching tonight with a different understanding of the power of praise, of the power of genuine praise from the depth of the heart with understanding. And you know, there's a tendency for us to get very, very desensitized, especially when we do something out of routine. We come here every first day of the month. We give praise to God, and we go. We come again the following month, we give praise to God. Or even every Sunday, we come to church, we praise. And it's very easy for us to get desensitized and distracted when we give praise to God. But I pray that from tonight, when we praise God, we do it with understanding. We do it from a different perspective, that giving praise to God is us praising his greatness and his might. Praise time is not when you think about your issues or you think about what is not going well. You know, sometimes we misunderstand it and we think, okay, I'm going to go there and I want to go and praise God because of this problem. You know, I want to go and praise God. And in doing so, we focus on that problem, even though we think we're praising, but we're thinking about that problem and that problem. Yes, praise would terminate the issue for you, but your focus should be on the one that you're praising. Your focus should be on the God that you're praising, because you're praising him because of his, not because of your issues and your challenges, but for his awesomeness and his greatness. And I pray that tonight would mark a turnaround in the lives of every one of us that has come here to listen tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.